Christ who was born, Christ who was born in me. He's now being formed, he's now being formed in me. Day by day, as I choose to walk in life that's free in you, focused on Christ the man, being just walking in his plan. I have access to it all. There's no more war, no more veil to hide your glory from me. It is finished, paid in full. I can see you, oh, so clearly, in the mirror of your word I can see Christ being formed in me. Yes, I have died, and my life is hid with Christ. Father, what you see is Christ in me reflecting his glory. The mystery hid from ages past revealed to me personally. See it last. I have access to it all. There's no more wall, no more veil to hide your glory from me. It is finished, paid in full. I can see you, oh, so clearly, so clearly. Christ being formed in me. I want to know Christ. I want to think Christ. In Christ I'm free to be. I want to know Christ. I want to think Christ. So others see Christ in me. I have access to it all. There's no more wall, no more veil to hide your glory from me. It is finished, paid in full. I can see you, oh, so clearly, so clearly. In the mirror of your word I can see Christ being formed in me. In the mirror of your word I can see Christ being formed in me.
That about says it all. Let's close. Thank you, Vicki. I'll have to catch my breath after that. Message this morning under Grace, Part 20. Hope you brought your Bibles. You're going to need them. Entitled, subtitled, The Grace of Suffering. It's a good one. Sunday, October 2nd, 2022. Turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 1. 1 Peter 5, 1. We're going to rob Paul to pay Peter today instead of robbing Peter to pay Paul. 1 Peter 5, 1. Therefore, I exhort you pastors, elders, presbyteros, you Presbyterians. I exhort you Presbyterians, presbyteros. That means the old man of the ship, the admiral of the fleet, the old man of the sea of the ship. He's the one who's responsible to have all the munitions on board and all the supplies on board for the long sea journey so that everyone can eat and so they don't get scurvy or rickets, that they have all the good nursing stuff on board. That's his job. He does that by teaching, by leading under the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd, those given to his charge to green pastures. That's grace teaching. Green pastures is grace teaching. Green is the most psychologically pleasing color, always refers to grace. That's why we go to the throne of grace, and it's green. Everything's an emerald hue, it's an emerald rainbow. And it sits in the green room. Used to be bright white. As God rules the universe, and still does, but it's been tweaked and changed with righteousness and justice, but now he rules by grace, the throne of grace. Since justice has been satisfied, righteousness fulfilled in every possible way by Christ, now he rules the universe by grace. Grace has many aspects to it. One of them is the grace of suffering. Suffering is so important in our lives. Do we like it? No, if you do, there's something wrong with you. If you like to suffer, then there's something wrong with you. Nobody likes to suffer. But the result of suffering is always, now, you say, well, what kind of suffering are you talking about? I'm talking about self-induced misery, talking about divine discipline, psychic pain, the results of doing the wrong things, and then there's pruning and training that God uses, and the training of your spiritual life to root out and to build and plant, all of those things. I'm talking a little funny today because I bit my tongue off last night. It's hanging by a thread. It's okay. It'll heal. But sorry if I don't sound the same. It's a little bit painful. Anyway, so the elders, that's the elders. We don't want to get too carried away with the elders. The presbyteros. He says, I exhort the pastors among you, elders or pastors. It's another name for pastor, presbyteros. As your fellow elder, he's an elder. I thought he was an apostle. He is, but he's also an elder. All apostles are elders, but all elders are not apostles. And he says, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter was there. He saw him from a distance because he fled when Jesus was taken and crucified, and he saw him from a distance, bruised and battered more than any other man. He was a mess. They beat him to a bloody pulp. And he suffered for the sins of mankind. Yea, yours and mine. All of them. Paid in full. There is no more veil to hide his glory from us. Look at him. Behold the man hanging upon the cross. He died for you. He suffered and bled for you, for me. Fellow elder, witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Suffering will give way to glory. That's the beauty of it all. Even as it did for Christ, who is highly exalted at the right hand of God, who has a name and royal title above every other name and royal title given, higher and better than any other. Then he says, the exhortation to pastors, pastor the flock of God, shepherd the flock of God, lead them to green pastures and still waters. Exercising episkopos, oversight, bishoping, literally, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, not forcing people to do anything or forcing yourself to do anything that you don't want to do. It should be a pleasure and a privilege, always. Voluntarily, with or without pay. I've seen people say, well, you know what, I'm going to move over to this church because they're going to pay me more to go there. Is that God's will for you, that you would go where the pay is the highest? Or perhaps you're to stay here and receive a modest stipend for your services. That's what he wants in most instances. I'm going to go where the pay is best. He says, don't do it for money, whatever. Guys, Terry knows, but Ty and Greg, you're never going to get rich doing this. Especially if you teach the Word of God, you're not going to get rich. If you have all the bells and whistles, perhaps you can make a lot of money, and then we'll see you riding around in the finest of vehicles and flying in your own jet, your own private jet, to engagements around the world. I hope you do, if God does it. But anyway, shepherd the flock. We're just shepherds, you know, poor shepherds, that's all. And we have a flock of cute little sheep. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion. It's never obligation or compulsion, but voluntarily. Voluntarily. According to the will of God. That's the will of God. Not for sordid gain. That is for unjust wages, but rather with eagerness. I can always say, I can truly say I've been eager to address you and to teach you and to preach the Word of God to you these 20 plus years, these past 20 plus years. You know, we've been together for 20 years, so you can't tell by the number of people in the congregation. Well, we tried to flush out as many as we could. They came and they went. You say, well, there must be something wrong here because they're not flocking here. That's just the opposite. I don't know if you know that or not. It's the opposite. It's just the opposite. You think that most Christians would benefit by the things that are taught and explained and that we bring here? I'm sure they would. You say, will they understand them? Oh, no, it's far too complicated. It's not a matter of that. You know that, don't you? It's not far too complicated. It's that they really don't want to think or trust or choose to spend the time necessary and discipline to receive something valuable. That's the society and culture we live in. You say, it's all about you. No, it's not. If it's about me at all, then we need to change that right away. Well, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks, so you're going to miss me while I'm gone. when I come back, you'll say, thank God you're back. We don't have to listen to these convicting messages from Terry and Ty and Greg. Good heavens. We'll come back to you and your gentleness. The gentle messages that you bring. Anyway. So he says, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge. You're not their boss, but proving rather to be examples to the flock. Examples of what? A good Christian guy? No. Examples of Christ. Hupotopos. Living and walking as he did in the days of his humanity. That's what we're here for. To be conformed into his image. Christ, who was born in us, is now being formed in us. Galatians 4:19. And when the chief shepherd appears, here's the chief shepherd, I told you. He says, therefore I exalt you shepherds to do these things, so that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive. This is a wonderful promise for pastors and for the people that attend their assemblies. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The unfading crown of glory. And then he says in verse 5, you younger, that's the elder, which is the pastor, and the younger are those who attend his assembly. You younger men likewise will receive the unfading crown of glory if you are subject to your elders. That's what he's referring to the pastor. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. That happens pretty regularly here. For God is opposed. He makes war against the proud, the arrogant believer, but gives grace to the humble believer. James 4:6 says the same thing. James stole it from Peter. Peter stole it from James. They both stole it from the Word of God, from the Old Testament, from Proverbs. Therefore, humble yourselves. This is always a good word and something that's good to remember. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may raise you up, exalt you at the proper time, when the time is right. He will. You humble yourself and he'll raise you up at the right time. You take the back seat and he'll say, come up higher, friend, when it suits him to do so. And when you're ready to move up, when he says you're ready, to move up. Then he says, casting all of your anxiety. There's a good one. Whew. Know my anxious thoughts, O Lord, and forgive me. Help me, purge me, purify me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So he says here, that casting all of your cares, anxiety, upon him, because he cares for you. We know that, don't we? He died for you, so he also cares for you. Now he's raised from the dead, seated at God's right hand, making intercession for you, that he might save you to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25. Then he says, be of sober spirit. The word spirit's in italics. Be sober. Be sober. That means don't drink. Don't be drunk. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, where is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be sober. Be ever alert. On the alert. Be en garde. On guard. Why? That's what they say when you take a sword and you do fencing. You go, on guard. So you're looking at your opponent and you're opening the fencing session where you'll thrust and parry. And you stand and are opposed by the enemy of Christ and the enemy of your soul, who is a real enemy, a subtle enemy, really sneaky, got some moves. We're supposed to know about them. We're not supposed to be ignorant of his moves, his devices. So he says, be a sober spirit, be on the alert, your adversary, Antidikos, your adversary, your prosecuting attorney, your anti-righteous one, Dikos, from Dikaios. Anti-righteous. He's anti-righteous. He's the prosecuting attorney. He accuses the brethren day and night. Your adversary, the devil, Diabolos, the slanderer. He's slandering you to God who won't hear of it. Because Christ is the evidence that you're okay with God, seated at his right hand. Anyway, sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around, walks around. That's all it says is walks around, peripateo. You know our word, peripateo. He walks around. Pateo means to walk, and peri means around. Walks around. Like a roaring lion. Remember, he doesn't have any teeth. They were kicked out at the cross by the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the stronger lion. This roaring lion, all he can do is gum you. And you'll see that in this verse. Then it says, seeking someone to catapino. What's catapino mean? Drink down, not devour, not bite, but drink down, because he has no teeth. He'll drink you down. He'll swish you around and drink you down. Because if you're that gullible, you won't hide, so he can't find you in Christ. Hide in Christ. Hid with Christ inside of God. The devil can't find you. So he says, seeking someone to drink down. But resist him. Firm in your faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, you put on the full armor of God so that you can defend yourself against the... You put on the full panoplia from God so that you can resist the panorgia of Satan. That is his weapons and devices. We put on the armor and armament from God and carry the sword of the Spirit on guard. He cannot get you. You're just waiting for him to strike, and then you parry. If he thrusts, you parry. That's what you do. You're not taking the battle to him. You're standing still and watching the salvation of the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. It's always the Lord's battle. Anyway, so he says, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. We're all going through these things together, all going through something at the same time. After you have suffered for a little while, here's our verse. The God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect. That means to mend. If you got a little bit tattered, you get mended. It's the same word that's used for mending the nets of those who went fishing. And they get torn. Mended, confirmed, strengthened, and set on a firm foundation. Set your feet upon a rock. Then it says in verse 11, to him be dominion forever and ever. But here we have the grace of God. The God of all grace will do this all for you. Verse 10, that's our verse. says, but, starts out with but. He said, it doesn't say that in my Bible. Well, that's what it's, how it starts. But the God of all grace, there's only one, it's the God of all grace. He's the God of all grace. Anything gracious comes from God. He's the God of all grace. Then he says, who, having called you into his eternal glory. What did he call you to? He calls you to Christ into his eternal glory. And those who suffer with Christ will be glorified together with Christ in an exceeding great and wonderful way. Others will be heirs of God, but those who suffer with Christ will be joint heirs with Christ and have a special appointment and an authority given to them that others, and a glory given to them that others won't have. I'll prove it to you later, don't worry. It's true. There won't be any equality in heaven. Some will be winners, and some will be losers. Some will inherit the kingdom, and others will not inherit it at all. We always read Galatians 5:23, but we forget to read 5:19-22. We'll get there in a minute. It's got me this week really bad. And my life's been reeling ever since I saw it. I'm getting tested on it, man. Whew. I guess he's not done with me yet, like he is with you. He's done with you, but not with me. Thank God he's not done with me. So, having called you into his eternal glory, it's a tall order. Then he says, in or by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. He did it all. Then it says, after having suffered oligou. What's oligou mean? For a little while. Suffering just a little. That's what it means, just a little. Suffering just a little. Then it says, he himself, and then we have four future active indicative verbs. After you have suffered for a little while, he himself, that's Christ, four future active indicative verbs, future after the necessary suffering has accomplished its work. It's purposeful. Suffering is purposeful. He says, he will katartizo. What's that mean? It means he will fix you or mend you because you're going to get a little bit tattered. Same word used for fixing the nets of the fishermen. He will restore you. He will fix or mend you. And then it says sterizo, which means he will support you or equip you. See, where do you get that? From 2 Timothy 3:16. He says the man of God will be fully supported, sterizo. And then it says, then he will stenao, which means he will strengthen. So he will fix you, he'll mend you, he'll restore you, he'll support you or equip you, and he will strengthen you. These are all future verbs. And then finally, themeliao, themeliao. Themeliao. He will place you on a firm foundation. He'll stabilize you. After all that, after you go through all these things and you're a mess, he'll do all these things. He'll strengthen you. He'll stabilize you. He'll equip you. He'll fix you. He'll mend you. He'll strengthen you. And you'll be far better off than you were before you face the circumstance or situation in which you suffered. You had gracious suffering sent into your life. Suffering for blessing is part and parcel of the Christian spiritual life. It's a very important part. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No parasmos. What's parasmos? Your Bible says no temptation, but it's much more than that. The word is parasmos. It means trial, testing, temptation, and trouble of every kind. No temptation, no trouble has overtaken you, but such as is common to all believers. You know it is. Life is full of trouble. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. That's what Job said. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but don't worry, be happy, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. This is common to all men, to all believers. And God never changes. He always remains faithful. He does the same thing every time. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear, but with the trial, the temptation, the testing, and the trouble, will provide the way of escape. The way of escape. I like that. I like the idea of the way of escape. Also, so that you will be able to endure it. When it just becomes a little too much, it gets you right out of it. Put you in it, get you out of it. When his purpose is complete. It is all appointed, and appointed to all. Philippians 1:29. Remember this. For to you it has been granted. You know what granted is, don't you? A grace verb. It's been graciously given or granted. It has been granted for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. That's not swearing. That's for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. His glory and his honor in the end. As you become a grace, one of his grace trophies. Because you accepted the appointment of suffering in your life. And you went through it and came out on the other side when he provided the way of escape. You have been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer. Pasco, for his sake. To suffer for his sake. It's not only been granted for you to believe in him, take in the word of God, but then to suffer. Because your adversary, the devil, wants to do you in. There's all kinds of schemes that he uses to get your goat. He is a goat. And get your goat. Get you to follow him. And to cave in under pressure, under anxiety, under trouble, testing, and trials of all kinds. So, it is germane. Goes right along with a life. It is germane to a life of grace and truth that it would be opposed by the kingdom of darkness that attempts to put out the light, lest the true nature and motive of evil should be exposed. It's hidden. It's always hidden. It's always subtle. A life beset, the spiritual life, is a life beset with accusation and condemnation from the devil, who gets us to become discouraged and frustrated. All of this projected and perpetuated by the enemy of Christ and the church, who we already saw is the devil. There's two verses before our passage here, 1 Peter 5:10, that Jesus tells us to be on guard. Be on guard. On the alert. Sober and on the alert. A direction to be ready to fence, taking the opening position for conflict and action. Verse 8. Be sober. Be on the alert. Your adversary, Antidikos, the devil, prowls around peripateo like a roaring lion, only roaring, not biting, seeking someone to catapino, to drink down. But resist him, firm in the faith, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. You should not feel so all alone. Why? Huh? You better believe it, brother. Everybody goes through it. You know it. I think that's what the prophet of our times has said. In John 10:10, the devil has come only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. All he does as he slithers about, undetected, is intended to trick you, to neutralize and silence the proclamation of the gospel to unbelievers and the teaching of Bible doctrine to the saved. That's what he opposes. Critical to both for their temporal as well as eternal well-being, without which life has no purpose, no meaning, no definition. And all that is left, he loves this, is eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. There's nothing Satan likes better than spiritual quitters and spiritual passivity. Because by it, every believer is a sitting duck. He wants to hook as many believers as possible, ASAP, as soon as possible, as soon as he possibly can, before they make any further progress. Gets them to peel off and not come to church anymore. You say, well, I'm strong enough to stand on my own. The heck if you are. You're not. None of us are. We need the body of Christ. We need to be baked in the loaf of the body of Christ. We being many are one loaf of bread in the Lord. He does this. He does his work secretly. In the dark, making mushrooms out of believers. More like toadstools. Keeping them in the dark and feeding them manure. Revelation 12:12. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a little bit of time left. And that is the truth. Indeed, he's very busy. In Ephesians 2:2, he uses social media in the airwaves. See, they used to call it Facebook, and I would say, get your face in the book, out of Facebook, and get your face in the book. Now it's called Meta. So I say, change your mind. Meta noeo. Stop looking at Meta. Metanoeo means to change your mind, to repent. Repent! Get your face out of Facebook and get your face in the book. Facebook will not help you in any way, shape, or form. But every time you open the book and get your face in it, you will be helped immeasurably by the living and powerful, eternal, everlasting, infallible, inviolable Word of God. Do that. Do your soul and yourself a favor. So, he uses social media. He's the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. He uses social media and airwaves to create public opinion, along with false doctrines and practices of apostate churches. Every kind of abuse to cast doubt and suspicion upon the rest. He attempts to discredit those who desire to glorify God by grace, lumping them together with the evil and abusive false religion that ruins people's lives. There's lots of them. Therefore, do not be surprised or disheartened if you, as a believer, are ostracized, just part of the training program, or excluded from events, from parties, from weddings, from holidays and birthday parties. Don't worry about that. He said, but I like to go to parties. You need to go to fewer of them. Because, that is, if it's because of your holy and disciplined life, or because you don't drink or smoke pot. That's why they don't invite you. That's what they're going to do there. It's very common today, you know, even in really good families, they drink and smoke pot. Do they? Anybody in your family do that? Any of your family get-togethers have drinking and pot-smoking parties? Oh, please, Lord. Just think of all the money you'll save if you don't have to go. And just think of the power that you wield. Not in judging them, but the invisible positive impact you have toward them as you pray for them, for their well-being. And God blesses them because of you. You're a very positive influence for them and toward them. They don't even know it. Their wonderful success and their wealth, the wealth that they've acquired and the lifestyle that they have, could be traced right back to you. And you're poor. And yet you made them rich. They're blessed by their association with you, your association with Christ. That's how it works. You say, that can't be. That's true. The Bible's full of it. Look at Abraham and the blessing that came to him and then came to you all the way back from him and his blessing. So, the things God doesn't allow, coupled with that which he doesn't do and doesn't allow, makes sense of it all. Makes it okay. That's how suffering works. Into every life, some rain must fall, like the last couple of days. If it doesn't, nothing will grow. No fruit will grow. Without rain, no fruit will grow. Your spiritual life and growth in grace depends on it. This is where grace suffering comes in. See, the first thing you have to do is you have to be dug and dunged before there will be fruit production. As a believer, you have to be dug around and dunged or fertilized before there will be any fruit production. Luke 13:6-9 says, and he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree which he had planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and didn't find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put dung in it, fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. Then afterward, there must be trimming or pruning. Once it starts to produce fruit, there must be trimming or pruning to remove superfluous bulk that absorbs nutrients and sap, which is far better used and directed toward growing fruit. That's what he does. It's hard to tell the difference, but it's suffering nonetheless. John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it up and away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That is the gospel. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch. He's useless and dries up, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They completely disregard anything that you would say of a religious nature. I think you're a fool. Add to the mix the negative consequences of our bad choices and wrongdoing. These are all various categories of suffering. Galatians 6:7. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he reap. For one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to you guys. Those are the household of faith. Now, if that were not enough, then there is the discipline of the Lord that we invite when we back off from the Lord, back off from His Word, back off from His church, in order to bring us back and to keep us ever closer as a result. In Hebrews 12:6, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And He skins alive with a whip. You say, I don't like that language. I do. I love it. Because it's true. You ever been skinned alive with a whip? You're very sensitive to the Lord after that happens. Right? Tan your hide. He scourges every son whom He receives. All of this and more drives us to God for the grace and mercy that's needed to stem the tide and to deliver us from evil. We belong to the God of all grace, who comforts, consoles, and uses difficulty and adversity to train us. Training is more discipline, is more suffering, and this too is grace. This is all grace. I'll show you. I'll prove it. Titus 2:12. The grace of God trains us. There you go. To deny ungodliness. It means to use all kinds of different things. Instruction, punishment, correction. You know how you train a child? This child training. The grace of God trains us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. You thought grace was a license to sin. It'll paddle you bad, hurt you good. Paddle you bad, hurt you good. So we have digging, dunging, pruning, training, and discipline, which will make you a lean, mean, fruit-bearing machine. Conformity. In Romans 8:29, He predestined you to be conformed. Is sumorphos, S-U-M-O-R-P-H-O-S. Which means to shape or form together, that is, into the inward likeness and image of Christ. He says He predestined us to be conformed into the image of Christ, into the image of His Son. For this purpose, for this reason, God left us here after justification for sanctification, which is transformation. Sanctification is transformation unto or into the image of Christ, unto Christ-likeness. That's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for. Say, I can't see much of it happening. Well, whatever. It's still the purpose of God. The purpose and reason for which the Word of God exists, as it does, in order that we might think, speak, choose, and act, as Christ did. To be like He was in the days of His human life. Conform to His image, Romans 8:29, to be conformed, Ephesians 4:13, to grow up into Him, 1 John 2:6, to walk around as He did in the days of His humanity, 1 John 4:17, to be as He is in this world, as He is, so are we in this world. That's what it's all about. Here's one that got me just the other day, and we'll probably close with this. And thank God it did. For if it didn't, and I continue to act a fool, I know you never do, I may have lost some of the blessings of my kingdom inheritance. And I don't intend to lose any of it. I want a full reward. Galatians 5:19. Turn there. Now you got to see it for yourself. Galatians 5:19. We always read 5:23. For the fruits of the Spirit is love. Here's 5:19. This comes before 5:23. This is the deeds of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. 5:19. Now the deeds of the flesh are apparent, evident, which are pornography, impurity, sexual lust, sensuality, idolatry, loving money and things, sorcery, pharmakia, drug abuse, enmities, that is opposing things that you should love, hating things you should love and loving things you should hate, strife, fighting with people, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Does anybody suffer with that one? I'm not admitting to it. Disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Paul says, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There'll be believers that don't inherit the kingdom of God. Because they practice all the days of their life these things. They are not abiding in the vine, being conformed to the image of Christ, getting the word in their soul, so that they can think, speak, choose, and act as Christ did in the days of his unglorified humanity on the earth. 1 John 2:6. Old habits, bad habits, die hard. But indeed, they must come to an end. Here he didn't miss a thing in this passage. Something or other should sting you, to reach out and bite you. Then verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, contrast to these, but the fruit of the Spirit is agape, God's love shed abroad in your heart, in every direction by the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, happiness. Kaira, the base of charis. Happiness and appreciation and gratitude. Peace. His peace, not yours. Yours isn't good enough. His. Patience. That's cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. Kindness toward others. Goodness. Doing the right things in the right way for the right reason. Faithfulness. Consistent. Very consistent. Gentleness. Gentleness. Like Jesus. Self-control. Self-mastery. Egritai. Against such things, there is no law that can produce them, nor limit their production. You can make as much of that as you want. As much of those as you want. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. It's a fact. With its passions and desires. Some still live under the impulses and pressures of the amputated limb syndrome. Still feeling the desires, the pulls, the tugs. So he says, if we live by the Spirit, then it only is appropriate that we walk by the Spirit, in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Old habits, bad habits, die hard. But indeed, they must come to an end. These are the things that make life miserable from the previous list, rather than pleasurable. The rotten fruit, I call rotten peaches, of sowing to the flesh, versus the righteous fruit, or the pleasant fruit, of sowing to the Spirit. The pleasant fruit of righteousness. God help us all to receive grace and mercy in these areas for our everyday life and in our relationships, usually with those closest to us. For these there is pruning, training, reproof, rebuke, correction, and instruction in righteousness from the Word of God, in order that we might think, speak, and act as Jesus did, and as He commands us to do, likewise, in James 2:12, so speak and so act as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. What's the law of liberty? You're free from sin and death in Romans 8:2. You're free from the curse of the law in Galatians 3:13, 1 Corinthians 15:56. Under grace, sin is no longer your master in Romans 6:14. You're therefore free to change your mind and follow the Lord's instructions. He'll help you and strengthen you and guide you and direct you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, after you've suffered for a little while. Remember, you're suffering for blessing. Not for only your blessing, but the blessing of others also. And so, He says, He tells us, finally, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. That's His job. That's what He's doing. And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then this promise. This is my favorite. Faithful is He who called you by name to Himself, who also will do it. That's grace. Not only did He call, but says He'll do it all. Isn't that special? Perfect. After you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you into His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And I'll just finish with this from the NLT. This is how it says it. It says, in His kindness, God called you to His eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a little while, He will restore, support, strengthen you, and place your feet on a firm foundation. And, therefore, what you go through here doesn't even compare with what you will have there. The greatest and most glorious grace of all that awaits us at the coming or appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13. Oh, what a day that will be. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the message of grace and truth. Not grace without truth or truth without grace. Neither one fits the bill. But we know that grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ is the message, the full message, the gracious message, the glorious message of the glory of Your grace that is Yours and that You will share with us as believers. Father, may we resist the devil so that he flees from us in these areas where he wants to take us out, take us down. Father, we pray these things in the matchless name of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
If we could all stand.